Hey, everyone. Happy to have you here for another episode of Legacy Matters. Today, as usual, we will talk about whatever comes up with a slight leaning toward discussions of preserving your legacy, preparing for things to come, and sharing stories we find amusing. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Yeah.
Yep. We start out the same every time.
It's a little different.
But today it's noon. It's noon on Wednesday.
And it's raining.
It's raining.
It is really, really dreary here.
It's dreary, but that's okay.
Yep. Winter is gone.
Winter, we think so.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's gone now.
Right. We had that big random snowstorm, blah, blah. Easter weekend is coming up for those that have listened to our Easter basket.
Our Easter. Easter basket. Yeah, the ACDC Easter.
So what's coming next? And we'll have to report on how the kids like their kites.
I gave them to them.
Oh, you did? You just couldn't wait?
Couldn't wait.
When did you give it to them?
Just
give it.
Over spring break, because spring break didn't coincide with Easter.
Fair enough.
I wanted to have them.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's not.
Did you guys do them? Did you?
We have not. So I gave them to them, and then we never had the right wind.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You have to have a pretty...
Sure, hefty.
It doesn't have to be... it just has to be consistent. It doesn't have to be strong. It just has to be consistent.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the aerodynamics of it all.
Right.
Are you going to try to bust them out this weekend?
Quite likely.
Yeah, because it should be nice out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be at my brother's farm, too.
Oh, God. Right. Plenty of room.
Yeah, plenty of room and usually good wind. Mm-hmm. It's always windy up there.
And they're not going to get knotted up and like... trees or
they don't really do that.
Right. They're responsible.
These are like
pretty
fancy.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, oh yeah. I definitely remember.
Yep.
And Jim was making fun of me.
No, it's
that's what I remember.
That's
how I remember it.
I hurt your feelings. Sorry.
I know. Jim told me my hair didn't look as good as it did yesterday.
Oh, my God. Well, it did look really good yesterday.
It did. I know. And then today, I'm like, I tried.
I mean, it looks good
it
still.
It looks fine.
Yeah, it looks.
Just
and you've got your
best.
Kind of page boy hat on.
Well, I just put a hat on.
Yeah.
Which I'd like to give you a hard time over why it matters that your hair looks good, but I'll leave it alone. Yeah. I love the look.
Yeah, see, I don't even do that.
Look. Yeah, no, I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, so.
Right, but it looks good.
Okay.
It does. Don't
it's
listen to Jim.
It's a great cut. I'm the one that compliments.
You did, Jim. You noticed when I got it colored.
Oh, he always notices all this stuff.
You noticed it looked very multidimensional and rich.
Yep.
So that was very comforting.
You got a great cut.
Great haircut.
Yep. And yesterday it was looking good.
The sun was shining. It was a good day.
Yeah. It's just that he gets jealous.
Well, Jim has good hair. Maggie and I were just talking about your hair this morning. I don't know why we were talking about
it. I don't know why either.
I don't know why. It's because it's early. We're in the car and we just talk about
Jim's hair.
Whatever comes
My
up.
Hair.
Jim's hair came up.
She did mention something to me last night
did
about
she?
It. Yeah.
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 Well, she enjoys talking to you.
Yeah. And I enjoy talking to her too. And she was like... Yesterday, she said, you know, you have really great hair. And I was like,
oh.
Really?
Yeah, she said that to me.
Huh.
Yeah. Cute. When we were sitting outside. And I said, thanks.
That's nice of her.
Yeah, it's super nice of her. Because it's thinning, you know?
Well.
Well, I'm old.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
That's the same joke.
I know.
I know.
It never gets old, right?
Yeah. Nope, I didn't want to say it, Jim. But
well, we got our picking on Jim out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim, you know it's in jest.
I'm good with it. It's all fine.
It's in jest.
It's just fine. So.
Hi, Dad. Too. I'll see you in 2 days.
Oh yeah.
For
Burgundy.
Easter. Huh? Oh, Burgundy.
Burgundy.
Burgundy. He made
What do
I
you
can
mean
share
by Burgundy?
This. Well, because give him a color.
Oh, that's right.
So he made this for Soren and all of my nephew and niece, and they don't listen to this, so I can again share it. He made them the cute, maybe this can be our cover photo, a little M&M dispenser. It's like a little candy machine with a wood slot, the bottom that you pull out, and it dispenses 8 M&Ms at a time.
Oh, that's
and
super
then,
cute.
And then my sisters are like, well, they're going to fight over it. My mom said, no, he made one for each of them.
Oh,
they're going to go bananas.
Of course he did.
Are you kidding me?
That's cute.
Right?
That's awesome. That's really cute.
It's that whole, like, Olive loves to go to the grocery store. I took her on Sunday. And she loves the little vending treat things that you pop in
all the
couple
kids
quarters.
Yeah.
And it's all that junk. It's like erasers and slime. And she has to sit there and ponder it. Where do I want to spend my 50 cents?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
What I remember
trinket?
That.
What junky trinket
junky,
do I want?
Like it's
today.
Lost. And
except for it wasn't 50 cents when I was.
It was what?
It was like a nickel.
A nickel?
A
dime, I'd say. Nickel was your dad.
Yeah.
A dime. And then it slowly went to a quarter.
Yeah.
No, it was probably a quarter.
I liked the those slap hands.
Yeah.
My kids those are like good. They still play with those, don't
yeah.
they? That's good stuff, and you can try and smack it on people.
I know. Like steal stuff from in front of people. Some guy's doing their homework next year.
Those are good things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I bought your kids for when we went on our trip some type of slime thing.
Slime?
I'm sure you probably did.
Glow in the dark slime.
Yeah, I think
so. I don't know. For young
boys?
Kids,
yeah.
Young boys.
You don't like slime?
Well, I mean, it's just...
It gets dirty.
Yeah, it gets nasty.
Yeah,
I know.
But I mean, I like the idea. I like the concept
of
slime.
How about Play-Doh? Do you guys have Play-Doh at your
house? Yeah, we have a lot of Play-Doh at our house.
Yeah.
Baby ruins a lot of Play-Doh, though.
Right.
By what?
Leaves it in a little machine.
Oh, yeah.
Gets all hard and crusty.
Yeah.
And then you have to take it out.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't know, right?
No.
But Play-Doh is really fun.
She has a great time with Play-Doh. I bought the kids a bunch of modeling clay, the boys.
Yeah. Oh, fun, right. Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you can use that a lot longer.
Right.
Play-Doh.
Right.
It stays more
supple. Stays supple forever.
What do they build with it?
Nothing yet.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they sit and make little creatures and
I'm sure.
things. My uncle, when I was a kid, Uncle Steve, we had clay wars,
mm-hmm.
which no one's ever heard of because it was Steve's invention as far as I know. But he would sit and make entire armies out of clay for months.
Yeah.
How fun is that?
Yeah, I mean, like little tanks, little jeeps, little airplanes.
Would he smash it then?
And then he would let us make our own. So we'd each get all the cousins, we'd all get X amount of clay mm-hmm. and a little board, and he'd show us all the various types of implements that were available. You mm-hmm. got your little people and your little planes and,
yeah.
and there's like little cavalry guys
yep.
and everything. And then he had like one of those it was a big giant, it was a train set backdrop. So it was this giant styrofoam
mm-hmm.
plywood thing, whatever, that was a mountain village thing, you know, like it was, and that was the earth. And then we had our little areas, and we had to move our guys, and they could only move 2 inches at a time or something.
Oh wow. So you had rules.
There were rules. And then you had to drop, like if a plane flew over, if it could fly over, you had to drop little balls, and what they stuck to blew up. And
Oh my gosh.
Not for real blew up, but you know, but like that.
That's very organized. That's an organized.
Super ultra organized.
Very fun and yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was tons of fun.
Right?
I mean, we did this for... did that off and on for a few years
mm-hmm.
in my youth where like we would just have these weekend long clay wars or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he reproduced a Western village out of popsicle sticks and toothpicks.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It looked like
a friend, like a cowboy.
Well, he had been working for the city of Elk River. I mean, he's married. He's got kids.
Right.
He's
okay.
still just a super fun guy. But he, I think he had, if I'm not mistaken, he had polio when he was a kid.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he spent maybe a summer or two unable to leave the house.
Right.
So he got really into these imagination games. This was maybe in
the
60s.
Sort of, you know.
Spurred his creativity.
Yeah. Led to something else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he created this Western village with like Christmas lights in all the little houses and saloons and a street and you know, you'd tie your little horses up and then he'd make these maybe
4 or 5 inch tall characters.
Yeah.
And their little horses, and they'd have like the little blanket and the bandolier of shells little guns on their sides and little spurs, all of this. And then we got to play with it and destroy them all.
Yeah.
Oh my
you know, like they'd come to town and fight.
And break it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. That's really awesome.
It was really cool.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever take rocks then and like just, I mean, how'd you break it?
No. So he had rules about when they would fire their little guns, you know?
Yeah.
You get a toothpick and you'd get to take three blind stabs at whatever.
Holy.
Did he have like a typed up rule book for all of this?
I was all in his head.
Oh my God.
That's a really good way.
I want to do that today, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like a fun thing to do today?
This would be the kind of day where
you just set it up. Maybe we can start building a model village.
Add it
to our list.
We could.
You ask any of my cousins about doing that stuff with Uncle Steve when we were kids, and they all light up.
So I love the fact that you close your eyes, right?
Yeah.
And you like try to hit it.
It's like a random.
Yeah.
It's like real bullets. Like
Yeah. Like you might miss.
Right.
Or
you might get it
right in
the sweet spot.
Right in the sweet spot, right.
He did deer hunting where he made a bunch of little deer, and we'd do the same thing because I went deer hunting with him when I got older. But he was just really into that stuff.
What do you mean he did deer hunting?
Like we'd get done playing Clay Wars, and then he'd go and sit for a few weeks and make all these little
deer
and stuff, and then they'd be in the thing, and then you'd have to pick your spots to set up, and then he'd move things around the way he thought deer would move or whatever.
I love it. It's like by random, you know, like you'd have to just kind of.
Sure.
It's kind of like pin the tail on the donkey, right?
Kind of.
You know, when you're blindfolded and you kind of do that. I mean,
these things lasted.
Interesting.
I mean, this lasted several years. And then if we weren't doing that, it was Risk or Axies and Allies.
Mm-hmm.
The game.
Yeah.
Axies and Allies would be...
Never played that.
It would be a 2 or 3 day /half the night...
Strategy?
Adventure, mm-hmm. Yes. And mind you, I was probably 7, 8, 9 years old. The 3 years we were there or whatever. And so I was probably one of the youngest, but this was, you know, like an 8-year-old. And then maybe my brother would have been 12 or 13.
Uh-huh.
My other cousins would have been 15 at the most, down to 9 or 10 or whatever. And so, excuse me, there's my Uncle Steve. I mean, these games would last forever, and you had to decide who you were going to partner with, or, you know, become allies with.
Yep.
And then after days of playing to finally, like, we'd get bored.
Right.
To finally win the game, like, a bunch of us would just gang up on him and win it, and he would get very upset.
That's funny.
He would get very upset.
I remember, too, like, at that
in a playful way.
Age, but... like, setting up the toy soldiers, you know, like, I had a hundred, right? And you'd set them all up, and then you'd throw marbles.
Oh, sure. That's one way.
And try to blow up.
Right.
Same sort of deal.
Yeah, right. Same thing.
It's that make-believe...
war scenario?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I grew up with 2 sisters, so we didn't gravitate towards that.
Sure.
But we'd build, like, little car cities with our... what do you call those? What is the popular car?
Matchbox.
Hot Wheels. Oh, my God. And just with chalk and making roads. And there's something...
Oh, yeah.
You know... It would just, you want to go back to that sometimes because it's really methodical, but it's so imaginative.
Yeah, I do. You know? I know exactly what you mean.
A lot of time making roads and cities
you know, out of car.
Yeah, like, with cars and then making
little trees.
Well, now I'm sad.
Yeah, making buildings
just
out of boxes.
It's sad. It just, you know, like this ties into something I was reading about how 5-year-olds are the most interesting people to talk to because they're old enough that they can have a conversation, but they're still so young that they aren't caught up in all of the BS that we live with every day and how we're kind of conditioned by society to believe in these, you know, constructions and whatever. So it's just a 5-year-old has such a sense of imagination that we lose that as we get older. And I think the three of us are really lucky because as part of our jobs and starting this company, we get to really kind of push the boundary, and we have creative time and thinking time.
I do like
where
that.
We get to exercise that. You know, a lot of people don't get that opportunity.
No, I agree, but I do the idea that you would play make believe with some figurines or something like that. Like that's been a long time since
right?
I since I had the ability to just sit there and do that.
Yeah,
like, that's a very special time in life.
It is.
We can bring it back.
We can do a model village.
Yeah, I think we might. Yeah, we might have to do that.
That sounds awfully fun.
A model village.
Feels like you need like a space up north where you've got. You know, you wake up day after day, things like that.
Yeah.
You got nothing to do but get this thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Ready to go.
Like, I remember my dad had a train set in the basement that was elaborate, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And he,
that's
you know,
a big one. I've got a fairly good number of the trains that I had as a kid. And they're those old ones with the three rails.
Yeah. He had, we had a bar in the basement, classic, you know?
Yep. Mm.
And down there, he had a table that was set up with like a electric train. And every once in a while, we would go down there and he'd spark it up, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, and
you could smell that ozone.
Oh, yeah. You'd smell it. And you'd put these little pellets in the engine so like a little smoke would come out.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, I was pretty young during that. And I was like, wow.
I still have that type of equipment in my garage.
Yeah.
Man.
We could set that up here in the studio.
I should get that out for the kids.
You should.
Yeah, that's fun stuff.
Yeah, that is fun.
Well, there's another project.
Yeah, people who get into that model
really
train,
get into
they
it.
Really do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that becomes
another
a real
potential
thing.
Andelin user to record all their...
Oh, I would think so.
Collectibles.
All their collectibles and memories and...
Where they picked them up, what the story is about each one.
And then they get smashed and it's okay. But it's recorded
those,
for
you
posterity.
Don't smash those trains.
Those don't
not
get
the train. I'm just talking about the whatever... Clay figurines and whatever.
Yeah, those trains. I remember some of those. They're like this big, and they are heavy.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And they're expensive too. Some of them are really like, fancy,
super fancy, super detailed.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think my dad's was very fancy, but fancy enough.
Fancy enough. It has some smoke coming out. It
It had some smoke coming out of it. Yeah, it was.
He enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Now we're all kind of bummed out.
No.
I can't play imagination anymore.
Do it.
Right.
Yeah. I ruined myself by getting older.
Well, that's...
Well, all we do is imagine every day. We make things up. That's all we do is sit around and go, what if we do this to that, to this?
It's just such a melancholy day, too.
It
yeah,
is.
It feels like a good nap day or something. I'm not quite sure.
What day lately doesn't feel like a good nap day, though?
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Don't
but yesterday, when it was super nice, you kind of like, I'm going to be outside.
Yeah.
That felt like a good time to be outside.
Yeah, I took a nice long walk yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Last night?
No, yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning.
Oh.
Hmm? Yeah.
It was a little exercise?
A little exercise.
Exercise program?
Yeah.
Yesterday was
good
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, that I don't think you told us about that yesterday. When
no,
you failed to mention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took a little walk.
Well, okay. Good for you.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's going to be walking weather.
it did go from real, real nice to kind of dreary, but you can feel spring's coming.
Oh, it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I downloaded Andelin onto both of my children's little Android pads.
Yeah.
Little devices.
It's working on Google.
It's working on Google.
Yeah. That's how exciting was that? What did you feel when you saw it in the store?
It's pretty darn exciting.
It's pretty, it's hard to describe, but it's been a long time in the making.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and we kind of had to push through demystifying even what an app is. Like, they look like they should be so... Well, half of them are games.
Yeah, 90% of them are pretty
simple. Yeah, a lot of them are just kind of silly stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just nice to see ours on there.
Mm-hmm. It was very nice to see it on the store.
Yep.
And today, possibly, the Apple store?
In all likelihood.
Today, tomorrow.
Yep. So that's exciting, too.
That's
That'll
super
be
exciting,
cool.
Exciting, because Jim and I are waiting.
Right, because we're...
Too bad we're Apple, but...
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right. Coming. Whatever. It happens.
It's all right. It's
Apple's
got
fine
perks.
If you're into that thing, stuff.
So this is an ongoing thing that the happens around Apple. Here is the Apple against Android.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there is no right answer. I get it. I always defend Android, but, you know, there's certain things that
Apple
bother
does
me.
Really well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And, you know,
they make
Android
nice devices.
Has really good. I really like the camera on your phone.
Oh, the cameras.
Well, yeah. I mean,
ridiculous.
I can't believe the quality of the camera on or cameras on these things just in general.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's very amazing. And it's what makes, you know, it's one of the things that makes preserving your memories using these tools.
Preserving your memories.
Actually, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Work. Because if you were doing this with a flip phone 5 years ago,
those
blurry little photos.
You'd have to get. I was going through some of my things, and I have these boxes of stuff.
Right.
And I found my old camera from 2001 that my parents got us for Christmas. And back then, it was like, oh, it's a nice camera. You could take it to travel and whatever. I'm sure there's a memory card in there. I'm sure there's some photos.
You know what? I was just thinking about that because I have some of my old phones. You know, have photos on them that I never...
And back then it wasn't like the cloud.
Right?
It is now.
Listen to that. Back then there
back
wasn't
then,
the cloud.
What is that, 10 God. Years ago? Not even?
Yeah, it
we
was.
We go down this path all the time, too, but it's true. I mean, the change, the dramatic pace of the change of the last 15, 20 years is really, once you start digging into it, it's very stark. The difference between what you had then... versus 5 years after that versus 5 years after. I mean, I have managed to store and back up most of the early cell phone pics that I was
mm-hmm.
taking.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll show up because I've been using Google for so long. They'll show up in the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know what phone I was using when we had Teason, but that would have been 12 years ago. And I know that I wasn't...
It was flip phone, like the Razer or...
I don't think it was a Razer.
It was pre-iPhone.
It was pre-iPhone, mm-hmm. but it was... I think I had a Nokia.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Nokia was the other big one.
Yep. And I think I bought even a kind of a more expensive version thinking I really want the best camera that they have
right.
that I can get right now. And they're crap photos.
Oh,
like they're still.
But at the time,
it was so impressive.
I remember the flip phone that I had, I think, took some photos. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have the Razer, though.
Oh, okay.
I had something else.
Maybe that the girls loved Razers.
Is that right?
The Razer phone.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think I didn't like the flat phones. I remember I liked the more... military type,
the pucky type
pucky
ones,
kind, you know. I thought it was a little bit more cooler,
sure,
you know, looked a little bit more durable,
right?
Yeah. I remember thinking that the Motorola
that's the one
Razor was Razor,
they had the Motorola that like was more military style too.
That's the one I had, I think.
Did you guys ever use Blackberries?
I never did.
Back in the day,
I didn't know.
When I was working in politics, they had started handing them out, and I think it was more of like a, well, communication, but like a security thing, because it's kind of like a pager in a way.
Yeah.
But they used to be little square pucks that you'd have to scroll through.
Yeah.
And then they eventually got a little bit bigger.
Uh-huh.
But it's, God, they're archaic now. I think they're in the Smithsonian. They are, like those versions of like,
the trackball was a...
Right. You know?
Yeah, their little trackball that they had on there was sort of revolutionary.
Yeah,
though.
But then you could carry this little thing around and you could, you know,
type
email
on it
your,
and do all that.
Your coworkers.
Right.
And,
God.
It's the coolest thing.
See?
Yeah.
It's really moving fast.
It's really happening. Where are we going to be 10 or 20 years from now?
That's what I don't know.
We're going to be part robot, right? I don't know.
So
feels about right.
Feels like something. It's going to meld with... I'm waiting for that kind of transparent keyboard that's just like a hologram that you can... You're not even carrying a physical phone. It's like some apparatus and it just appears like a hologram.
Implants into your wrist or something like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like
that's what's
the hologram
next.
Is definitely the next big thing.
Like in a Minority Report, where they have this holographic screen and they
have all sorts of versions. I just feel like I don't know what the keyboard is going to do for me in the future, when I can just look at the thing and be like,
probably,
hey. Yeah. Why don't you do this for me and that for me and type this up that way?
Oh, I can't wait until that happens.
Well, that's Jim all over it.
Yeah. I mean, I mostly dictate to text or whatever anyway these days. I know you do it a lot, too.
Yeah. Well, because I can't type.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, shit.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, so I just...
My thumbs get sore if I'm cranking out like this. Yeah,
you're a good type. Well, both you guys type.
Yeah, I can type on the keyboard fine, but I mean, on my phone, like some of those narratives I was writing those on the phone.
That was insane.
And they were really long, but it was the right move for me at the time. But
so Sam can basically bang out a novel on his phone with his thumbs.
Sometimes. You know?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can, yes.
Two thumbs and the guy's it's got 15 pages.
Oh, God.
It's not a novel anyone necessarily wants to read.
Read it.
But still. Well, yeah, we do read it, yeah. Well,
it's a novel nonetheless. Yeah. Jim, it's upside down. And Jim's like, I read it.
Yeah.
I need the cliff notes.
Good, Sam. Sounds good.
I need the cliff notes.
That's the way the baby reads.
Right.
Yeah.
La, 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 la. Like, baby, the book is upside down.
She's like, I got it.
No, though. No. No, it's not. I'm reading this the right way.
Don't tell me I'm wrong.
She was making art yesterday, too. Just loves filling pages in pads of notebooks with marker drawn and she's really, you know, whatever, she's not 3 years old and wowing anyone, but I mean
she's doing it
and I love how much they get into it and they just sit there and they're so intense. She's like, you know, biting her little tongue and it's sticking out the side and she's drawing a circle and she's like,
it's like, what? Yeah,
yeah, where she's working
next?
Hard on it.
Yeah, she's really thinking about it.
Yeah,
that's it's
think
just
about
so
how
precious.
That her little mind's working. That's like that abstract thing she's trying to do. Like she is probably trying to do a letter. But
she was trying to draw faces. She was drawing little people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. It's really.
But that's really interesting. That's an instinctual thing that you want to like somehow, you know, reproduce something. You know, you're looking at it.
Yeah.
And you want to like somehow copy it. You know, you want to like.
And given the opportunity to, you know, do that or watch My Little Pony with the boys or something, because you know, they'll do that with her. She's going to choose to draw at least 50% of the time.
Sure.
She loves
drawing.
Drawing, playing with Play-Doh,
right.
Which we'll go back to. But, you know, any of that stuff, it's...
Well, it allows your mind to sort of wander.
It's definitely a different thing.
She's got something that she can physically do during that sort of creative process. It's like
it's
art.
More active and not passive.
Oh, I think
it's same thing I do when I'm painting. Her and I are basically same. Well, at least that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, if we're talking about holographic this or whatever and virtual reality, and we all know that's coming, all that stuff, and sort of linking up to things, like I think a lot of what we produce here goes back to taking old analog things, finding a digital way to sort of replicate it, but also get you back into what we're missing from the analog.
Which is the, not so much obviously the tactile, but it's the story and the narrative behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because,
and the shared connections.
And the shared. And because the way, you know, social media or digital mediums now, they're just like one and done, like it's popped up, you see it, and then it's forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, we hear that all the time from people, right? Like, oh, don't make anything that challenges anyone or isn't, you know, people will only use what's super easy. I'm like, well, no, actually, I think we kind of crave, like, even
something that's challenging.
A little bit too. Baby is just sitting there trying her best to draw something. And I think, if you could just grab a pad, an iPad or something, and say, oh, you can just do that on here, baby.
Right.
Then there's no markers to clean up. You didn't draw on the walls. There's,
right. Mm-hmm. But you don't have... Yeah, it's different, though. Because
it is.
You have something that... It's a different recording. It's your actual hand. pencil on paper,
right.
You know,
right.
Which is the artist's hand, as they say, you know, so it leaves a trace of something behind.
I've been less pessimistic lately about our future. I think that we, not us, but I mean just us as a species on this planet. Like, I think we might have an opportunity to.
Well, I think it's the nature of, yeah, what we're with Andelin and with our greater company, what we're trying to do is just trying to be a force for good.
Right.
I hate to say that as like this, you know, platitudes and la la la, but I think we actually mean it. And I think some people are confused by that approach because they think it's just this money-making enterprise, but we're actually trying to do something good for people.
Yeah, no, I know we actually mean it.
And we mean it, and that's what's so refreshing. And I think what you were just saying, the responses that we've gotten from people, at least the ones that are the sentimental, more nature, it's very like heartening to hear that from people.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They appreciate what we're doing.
And I think for all the, you know, quite a while, saying the word millennial was like some sort of, it's like negative, bad mm-hmm, word. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a growing movement out there to kind of bring back some of the decency and the shared community.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the millennials are the ones that are doing it.
I think so.
And they're getting older.
I think
older,
we're in
too.
There too.
Yeah,
you know,
of course. Yeah.
I don't think that. In, you know, kind of my midlife years here, I don't feel like I have very much control. All of the things I was told in grade school and high school, like everybody can do anything, the future's going to be great. I feel like I was kind of fed a line of crap.
Well, and now the reality has kind of come to fruition.
Yeah, and I see a lot more people around our age stepping up because you can't expect that a 20-something is going to have the same social networks, the same
life experience,
access to things. Like, people our age can step up and make businesses. All right. Well, we should. I know I got teased for taking breaks in the middle of it, but
who did?
Oh, I just was so, a friend was.
I need to take a break.
Only because from the audience perspective,
right. It's not.
There's no real break. Yeah,
well, it's a physical in time break.
Yeah, you know, no, and I made that point pretty well. It's it was polite and friendly teasing, but anyway, we're taking a break.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I can't believe you've made it halfway through already. I'm sure you can't believe it as well. If you are not a family member of mine or Jim or Sarah's, that's even more impressive that you've stuck with us this long. Don't forget to visit our website, www.andelin.app, or if you're interested in the institutional version, you can always check out kineticlegacy.us too. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll start with the second half.
Okay, you two.
Okay.
All right, we're back. That was
fantastic.
A nice break.
So for you in listener land, that was...
It's about a 30-second break.
Only long enough for us to play music.
Yeah.
And me to say something silly that we refuse to change. And then
it's been on our list for like 4 months.
Changing the music?
Yeah, it's on underneath all these papers somewhere.
Oh, so. Okay.
But anyway.
I mean, we have to hold out at least a little bit of hope that one of these fancy musical guests that we're going to have here in the next few weeks might
out a couple tunes.
Oh, they will, yeah.
Might offer us up some intro music.
That'd be nice.
You know? There's just some instrumental stuff, right?
Wait, you're saying you don't like mine stuff?
No, I really do like yours, actually, but I think it'd be kind
of
cool.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Mix in.
Well, now that we decided the AC/DC copyright infringement or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What a bummer.
What a total bummer. Bummer. Bummer.
Bummer.
Bummer.
You guys are bumbling too much.
Oh my God!
It's research.
Yeah, Sam.
Research.
What am I saying?
Research. Sam.
I know.
On the human condition.
That's right.
Right.
Well, and upcoming top secret projects.
Top secret projects. Soon to be revealed.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Suspenseful now.
Suspense.
Yeah, no, it is. It's very, very suspenseful.
Well, something,
it
is. Something else in the works.
I like the intro music is like, didn't someone say it's like
NPR?
News. Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, I think.
News and information.
Yeah. Kind of.
It sounds important.
It doesn't it?
Well, legacy like, matters.
Yeah, legacy does matter.
Yeah, I did that. I did that this past summer. I busted out two different ones. GarageBand, like I know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just like, oh,
I can't believe you would even be able to do that.
That's well, Apple, though.
I have been editing our...
I know, right?
I'm not an audio engineer yet.
But you figured it out,
yeah,
right?
Evidently, that's
just what
podcast
we do.
Sound just fine.
Do you like GarageBand?
I'm not an expert. See, that's... one of those things I wish I knew someone who really, really, really knew it and I could sit down with for an hour.
Yeah.
Primer, oh, yeah, your other thing, yeah.
Other idea.
Yeah.
And just be like, teach me, you know, what am I missing here? Because you can kind of fumble your way through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about that before. Like, how many times in my life could I have used that with Photoshop or...
Yeah, or just little painting, you know.
Right.
Little... things that you don't want to immerse yourself in it for weeks and weeks. You just have some targeted questions you want to ask people.
Right. Yep.
I don't know
either. Communal I think the learning. Apple store, you can go in and get one-on-one things.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. What, for their devices or?
Yeah, for like GarageBand.
Oh, I guess that is an Apple product. I know.
It is.
But
is
I just
it?
Want
is
that one-on-one.
It is.
One-on-one.
Oh, that's
it
an
is.
Apple product?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea.
Are you
idea.
Doing, because you don't like Apple?
No, I don't like it, yeah.
Right.
Well, that's what
that
jealous.
Was the vibe you were putting. So I was like,
sucks,
oh, okay,
you know.
Guess Sam doesn't like this.
GarageBand.
No, that was not what I was thinking, but I like it. We'll keep the anti-Apple.
Oh.
Faux anti-Apple. Mm-hmm. Actually, I used to... when I sold electronics in...
What haven't you done?
...college at Sears, I pushed a lot of people toward the Apple products, and I had my own early...
Good you.
...early Apple.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that was back...
before they tried to take over everything and monopolize.
Oh, they were working on it.
Yeah.
SimCity was a big thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was on Apple only, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
No, they made a really nice computer. It was, I mean, it had all of like 256 kilobytes of storage or something.
Right.
It was really tiny by today's comparison, or by comparison with today's computers. But no, it was post like... Apple II LE or whatever period. Mm-hmm. And maybe when they had those colored bubble ones. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
I don't remember
that. They were like, they had a fairly good screen and they came in like a multitude of different
colors. I completely remember those now.
Bubble,
yeah.
Plastic bubble.
Yeah, when those came out, I was like, wow, that's cool. I wanted one of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was around that era.
Yeah,
and those,
it was. It was way too expensive for me.
Right. And the deal was selling computers at Sears in St. Cloud in the early 90s was that no one knew how to use them, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Sears had a no-problem, no-hassle return policy. That was their thing forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually, I think...
I remember that.
But yeah, it was basically your satisfaction guaranteed or your money back, I think was what the policy said. So people would buy a computer for $1,500 or whatever.
Yep.
And they would bring it home. They'd plug it in, let their kids plunk around on it for 6 or 8 months.
Yep.
And try and make it work and never figure out what it was actually capable of doing or what.
Right.
Because they weren't actually, they were word processing mostly at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they'd bring them back in kind of a, a heap. Like, here's your stupid computer. It doesn't work. And I'd plug it in and fire it up and be like, oh, it's working just fine.
Yeah. And what happened then?
Well, we would take them back. Mm-hmm. And I remember sort of getting into an argument with my manager, whose name is Greg. The boys reminded me last week because I'm so bad with names. But anyway, got into an argument with about him. I'm like, this person bought this computer 2 years ago. Like, why are we taking it back? Like, they just don't know how to use the computer. I plugged it in.
Right.
It's working just fine. They just don't know how to use it. And he's like, says right up there. See, look under where it says Sears there. Well, satisfaction guarantee, your money back. So back to the original part of the story. The reason, sorry, I know, lengthy stories.
Right, I forgot even where we were going.
Well, the reason I sold a lot of apples was because no one brought the apples back.
Yeah.
They did. They knew
they're
how to work them.
They're very user-friendly.
Yes.
Right.
So,
that's their whole thing.
So you would sell all these $1,500 PCs that would come back 2 weeks or 2 years later.
Yeah. Right.
And the apples, they just never came back because people...
Right.
They
well,
make
and
them
they
work.
Also, like you said, those bubble ones, the colored, I mean, they looked cool.
They looked cool.
So people were like, hey, look, I got a computer.
You could do your word processing, plus you could play SimCity or whatever.
Right.
Like, there were a few games you could play that were fun for people.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, and they just never brought them back. So I'd always try and get people to buy the Apple.
Interesting.
That is
and now I'm all anti-Apple. And it all started with iTunes. I'm just going to say it. I wanted to take all my music and make it into their proprietary format or whatever and then not give it back to me somehow. That's what ticked me off. That's where it all started.
Oh, boy.
I love you. Yeah,
and I
You're
understand
fine.
That.
You're fine.
And I finally came around to it this year.
Yeah?
Well, that's interesting because behind you, you know, we have the big CD.
You got all
collection.
Your CDs up there.
Yes. And, well, that'll lead into this little funny thing.
Yeah, what's this story?
Okay, so this last weekend, I was in here and I was like looking, so I'm down digitizing all of my photos. To put into Andelin so that I can share it with family members, etc., all that stuff. And in the studio here, we have this area where we have our stereo and I have like a couple hundred CDs and some albums too.
Even a few albums. Yeah.
Even a few albums that we see every day. And for me, it's like, oh, I remember that. But I don't really remember, you know, like I'm like, God, so there's this album up there that I found a picture of me receiving it for my birthday.
You did not.
Yes. And
in the box of
photos.
Polaroid photos.
Yes. So I have a Polaroid photo right here. And and so Sarah, so we were talking, this is what we talk about all the time is memory, right?
Right.
And you know, I kind of remember getting this album and I think like, oh, I must have got it for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I must have been, you know, like 17 or 8 or
can
I don't know, or
like,
16. Well, yeah.
Can you tell by the length of your hair or the type of cut you have? Like this would have had to have been when
this
I was 19.
This is much younger. So
I can't wait.
So I bust. So I'm going through this and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, my God, I am. Here it is. Sarah, pass it around. There's our Judas Priest album. Me receiving it for my birthday.
My God.
You know?
Walleye Country.
Yeah, I've got t-shirt. I've got a Walleye Country t-shirt.
I love it.
Jim, this is you.
That's me. And I'm like probably 12.
Well, I know what the cover photo for this.
But I'd like to say I was rocking hard at 12 or 13 years old.
You were.
Judas Priest screaming for vengeance.
Judas Priest.
Wow.
You got, look at you like buff too. Like they grew them tough there in
Crystal,
didn't they? Like, you were going to get beat up if you didn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every day at the bus stop was a fight.
Right.
Every day.
I bet you're 14 or so in this.
Yeah, 14. So anyways.
Give or take.
It's funny that we have, you know, for me, it's like I have these albums here in the studio and and they're kind of like.
And you've had them forever.
I've had them since that Polaroid picture was taken.
But you couldn't have
told
you when you got it.
In fact, I could have, I thought, I mean, I maybe even bought it myself. You know what I mean? Like, I just bought it.
Picked it up at some point.
But instead, I was this little dirtbag kid.
Why do I feel like when you and I first moved into this space, we went somewhere. We stopped by a garage sale.
Well, we did, and we got that album up there.
You picked up an album.
I did. I picked up a Rod Stewart album where it's just a lowball with whiskey in it. And I was like, God, that's so Rod Stewart. I mean, you know, back in the day, we were at this garage sale, and I was like, look at Rod Stewart. They're like, what do you want on your album cover? You know, he's just sitting there drinking. He's like, well, just put the lowball on the album cover.
Just you know, picture let's just, my drink. Right, it's my favorite this is my one I
drink.
Had today.
And it's got him looking through the drink.
Oh, wow.
You know, like he's like looking through this. Do you think it's like old fashioned or something like that?
Right.
And I just thought it was so funny.
But let's think about that era.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's one of those double exposure things where they've got a picture of Rod Stewart?
Yeah, probably.
And did they actually capture him through the glass? And the reason I ask is because you know how many families have those photos where they've got like the daughter is one way and then she's the other way up in the corner.
Yeah. and that was the time
it's terrifying.
I think there was a lot of looking through wine glasses and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were at the garage sale and I just was like, this is such a great album cover. But now the Priest, I mean, Screaming for Vengeance is a great album cover.
Well, you got to take that Polaroid, buy a nice little frame, and stick it up there.
Oh, Sarah.
You really should.
Yeah.
He and I are both like, wow, she's genius.
Right? She is. This will compliment that album up there.
It's totally compliment.
He's like, I was just going to throw it back in the box with the other ones.
Or we should put it on, we should put it somewhere, hang them next to each other. I don't know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's another. The so Museum it's just of Self, funny. Jim.
Yes.
This is your museum.
Yes. It is very like a little time capsule there behind Sam.
Well, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the friends that I was hanging out with this past weekend, my one friend, I was telling you a little bit about this, but my one friend has this museum in his basement to Star Trek and Star... and
oh, yeah, that
Bond, Star Trek.
Heavy.
Yes. And he's got all of these sort of really nicely matted collages of here's the ticket to the event, here's the photo of the person with me, here's the autograph on the picture of the photo with the person with me.
So it's all grouped together.
Yes, all in this little thing, yeah.
And it's displayed, right? Like you go into his basement, is that right?
Yep.
So you're walking through this. It's like a...
It's very much a well-thought-out, well-curated museum that he created, which is very cool. You know, I'm not into Star Trek or Bond or anything, and not nearly to that level.
Right.
Not really very much.
Well, you'll watch a movie if it's on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
Right.
I thought it was very cool, but it did get me thinking about, like, what becomes of all of this stuff when the people who really
care about it the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who really know it and understand it.
Goes to the second market.
Yeah. But then it loses some of itself, right? Because let's say you've got a picture of a famous person with a not famous person, and it's signed. The picture's signed by the famous person to the not famous person.
Right. It's not value, but meaning in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because... so now you've got. Yeah. It especially does if you don't even know the story behind who that person is.
Sure.
Right.
Like if you do know the story.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy was a big fan, and he did this, and he'd go hang out with them, and they were there, and whatever. Then it becomes just that much more valuable or meaningful.
Right.
Well, that's what we're trying to capture, right? Or allow people to record and preserve that, the story behind it.
Yep. Hmm. Exactly. But I thought that was a direct representation of the mission of Andelin, especially, but.
For sure.
If anyone wants to take a look at Andelin, which is andelin.app, A-P-P, you can see we have a new manifesto that we're pretty proud of.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just... Cool. It's
God, I love it. I'm glad you brought that up.
You know, how we're approaching this, and we're calling the shots, and no one's going to tell us what to do. And
so I left these two one day, and I come back.
Yeah, you did. We had a bang up.
And we were all fired up.
I just wasn't feeling all that well or whatever.
Right.
Let you guys wander off somewhere.
Sarah and I went to
come back the next day.
Bunnies across
the street. We went to Bunnies across the street.
I whipped out my notebook and
yeah.
we just started
flowing.
Yeah.
The next thing I know, they've got this like total punk rock. We're making apps to bust the world apart.
Well, you know, we're tired of the criticism that we're trying to change the game too much, or they just don't understand. And it's like, then don't take part in it, but just do your own thing. This is what we're doing, and we're proud of it.
I totally get it.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I didn't understand it, but then I came around to it. And I do think that that's part of the larger movement of us taking back some of our
control and our digital rights.
Like, just because I'm using your product doesn't mean you can sell me to everybody in the world
and it just
steal all my crap.
Targeted to you, and it's just so generic and conventional at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah, so I get it.
Yeah.
We're offering an alternative to some of those other venues.
I forget what it was that Jim had to... We talked about it finally, and then I could understand it.
Well, it was... I know exactly what it was, actually. It was pretty specific. I think you were doing some writing about something.
And
you are never a person that stalls on writing. It just flows out of you.
Right.
Like you said, you can do a novel with your thumbs, you know? You just bang, there it is.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was you were looking at some of the examples of what the writing should be and kind of struggling with trying to put yourself and us in that category.
Right.
In that box.
And really, it was that was the first moment, in a long time. It's we haven't tried to do anything that fits in any category ever with our development. Mm-hmm. So and then we started talking about the manifesto, it was that's what the punk rock thing is. It's you don't have to follow the rules. We can make up our own rules.
Right.
We know the rules, so you can break the rules.
Well,
and then that kind of freed up.
And then all of a sudden,
2 seconds later, you're like, oh, yeah, okay,
amazing.
Got it.
Yeah, and I think what it was like if, your art is this graphic stuff you do. Mm-hmm. Jim's art is oil on canvas and something comes out. And if mine is writing, which I never pursued writing as an art or a career, but I can write, it took framing it in my perspective.
Right.
Your punk rock expression needed to be put into my perspective for me to be able to write about it.
Right.
Because it caught you a little bit.
I just didn't get it at first. And then I got it.
Yeah, what happened was, and you were struggling trying to create something that just wasn't you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't put out something fake.
Right. And that's where it was starting to crumble. And then
you
took it back.
This whole journey of being an entrepreneur, starting your own business, or even what we're trying to do, we've had a lot of criticism and people don't understand, and, along with a great amount of support. So don't get me wrong, but the detractors and the people that just, for some reason can't be supportive or don't see the value in it, that just spurs us more to want to
spurred you to. That's right.
Well, it's when you're creating something like this, and we've all had to make sacrifices, we've all been working really hard, it becomes like your child in a way. It's your, it's part of you.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little bit territorial, you get a little bit protective. And I think that's a good thing, because the three of us have to be the champion of this.
Right.
No one else is going to care as much as we do.
Yeah, and I'm a little more, I think, I'm just kind of an eternal optimist.
Mm-hmm.
So when people, I don't get very offended when people seem to not understand or not want to participate. I just sort of look at them you don't get it.
All right.
That's fine. I'm just moving on.
Yep.
But I get what you're saying, though. I mean, I know that it can be, you can have the best of days.
Yeah.
And everything seems like, man, we're really humming along and we got all this stuff done. And then you put it out in some way to someone, and even the slightest bit of rejection can turn that bright, sunny day into
it brings in that sliver of doubt, which is always kind of there. It's always,
always
going to be there. That's part of taking a risk is what am I doing?
Right.
But it's very easy for people to criticize when they themselves have never taken that risk. It's very easy to criticize from a place of safety.
Right.
For sure. It is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And
so whenever you take
my life's
it's
always
vulnerable.
Been a risk, yeah, or something. Vulnerable. So I never
Well, I think all three of us have felt that way. That's why we're kind of all of the same mindset here.
Yeah.
It's a mindset, right?
Yeah.
It's an outlook.
Yeah, and I think you follow our story, or you follow what has happened from us thinking of this idea, and you're talking to the guy that, you know, who kind of spurred some of the initial thought on it anyway.
Yep.
And you follow that forward to where we are, like, there's no giving up or anything. Like, we just kept moving along. Mm-hmm. We're just doing it. We just keep doing it. And I think, you know, it coming out on the App Store yesterday or the day before or whatever, I was very, very proud of that.
Like, yeah, really, you should be.
Yeah, I really can't wait to see it on Apple.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mobile Composer, as they work diligently to fix some of the known issues that we have and then bring version 2 and version 3 online probably in a matter of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think the timing of all of this worked out beautifully.
Yep.
Couldn't be happier with what we have initially. I know there's things I kind of, you know, look forward to seeing the changes.
Yep.
But even the first version is beautiful and
it is
functioning really well.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah. So we're doing it. We're really doing it.
It's there. I think that's what we told ourselves, right? When it came out on Google Play, it's like we actually did it.
Yeah.
It was a funny moment to just see it there. Like, yeah, we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You know,
people are like, you actually did do it.
Yeah. it's been going to be on Google Play for 3 weeks from now for the last 4 months or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, I think finally, 2 or 3 weeks. Well, right. I don't know this.
Every time I say the same thing to people. Oh, another 3 weeks. Another 3 weeks.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh, no, it's actually there.
Yeah.
That's a different monumental shift.
It is.
What we've done. And I think we're certainly pushing it around, not being pushy with it, but we've been quiet thus far about handling itself, and we haven't necessarily forced the idea of the platform being used in other ways on people, but it's time to hit marketing hard. Mm-hmm. That's our next phases here.
Mm-hmm.
People are, our friends are going to get sick of us.
Probably, but.
Yeah. Most of them already are, though.
I know, and it's just, you know.
A few of them.
Oh, you guys still doing that podcast, are you? Yeah. Does anyone listen? Like, yes, remarkably.
Yeah, not just my dad anymore.
And no. We know we have more listenership than that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Slowly but surely wins the race, right?
Yep. And I, you know, actually we should mention to people how much we appreciate them spending their time with us.
Thanks for listening to
us. Yeah, I can only imagine, late nights or long road trips or something.
It's road trips.
Usually. Yeah.
Oh, it's a
That's
nice.
That's what I think it is.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
Yeah. Yep.
Extreme loneliness. I can see that being a driver listening to this.
I can't wait till our road trip comes up.
We're down to Iowa, taking a nice road trip.
Mm-hmm. That will be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Make some stops and chat with people.
And a world tour of conventions.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely. The other thing.
Pipeline convention.
Berlin.
Tech conventions.
We kind of can fit into all these different
categories.
Yeah,
we get
all over.
We're doing our first speaking engagement here in
a couple weeks,
actually.
May 15th.
May 15th.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 1 million cups in St. Paul.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a little song and dance.
A little song and dance. We're going to have to actually practice this, guys. We can't just wing it. So pencil
but look
it
at
in,
us.
Jim.
We wing everything else.
I've got it penciled in. Don't worry about it.
We should do at least a dry run.
We should.
Oh, no, we have
we'll
to.
We'll have to do
no
a little
doubt.
Yeah.
Whatever. Planning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I feel like that's our first.
Yeah, public kind of foray.
It's not going to be a huge thing, but it'll be...
Test
it'll be a
out
thing.
The waters.
It's very short. I mean, we're only up there for, 45 minutes?
If that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's short.
It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's even that long.
Isn't it?
I don't think so. And I want to get back to, we do have more and more well-known guests coming in.
Mm.
But I want to remind people that we're not only looking for well-known people. Mm-hmm. This is life and legacy. Mm-hmm.
And everyone has that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you're thinking that this is an uncomfortable thing to put yourself through to come and sit here and talk with us, it's really not. And we can talk about anyone's life and legacy.
Pretty easygoing.
And if you saw the way the studio looked, it's so comfortable.
It's not super intimidating. No.
Right.
No. You get to stare at Jim's amazing works of art.
Wow.
We have organic fruity snacks.
We have fruity snacks.
I mean,
selection of beverages.
Right.
We have the fancy water for the guests.
Right.
We have regular water for people who want that.
Right.
Yeah.
Got everything.
No, I mean that, though. I don't want to get caught up in forgetting that Andelin is about everybody's life and legacy.
It is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important facet of this. But I do think that we've had some really great guests, too, who have gotten messages out that mm-hmm. really needed, you know, they have a place in the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting group of people that we mm-hmm.
it is a very nice mix.
So it's some nice
artists and local musicians and just regular folks mm-hmm. living in our community, business people. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
It's been great. Mm-hmm.
It has. Well, we've got a couple more minutes if you want it, or we can sign off. We're pretty close.
On that note,
should we sign off?
I think it's probably about time.
Or we could talk about it was interesting today about the thing that you forgot about, you know, the job thing, if you want to.
Oh,
just very, very quickly, and just memories, how you just forget things.
That's what made me think about this, because it was after you mentioned that.
You just forget. There was a job that I had interviewed for in New York, and it would have been a really amazing job with a design firm who's very well known.
Yeah.
And I was one of two people.
Right.
And they chose the other person.
Right.
Who knows why.
Yep. But a good thing, you wouldn't be here right now,
Sarah. Yeah, I guess,
Sarah.
That's interesting. It would have changed the arc of my life for sure. But they were just
Don't act like it's a small thing. We'd have been screwed.
Oh.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we need you.
But it was just, they have a big feature in Architectural Digest. And I was like, huh,
yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. And I was so bummed out. I thought, ugh.
So I thought that was interesting.
It was interesting. Just jarred the memory, because that
and
was
And I love
seven
that
years
jarring
ago.
Of memory.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's what's interesting about what we talk a lot about.
Right.
And that's why Andelin kind of grew out of that, too.
Even this weekend with my college buddies, there's so much I don't remember.
Yeah, you just
so
can't.
Many things
can't.
I don't remember. And yet when you hang out with them, you do spark each other's memories.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like if you put all of those things into Andelin. Like, I think there's something precious about being able to forget things, too.
Sure, sure. You're not going to put all of your every single memory in Andelin.
No.
But you're going to be selective about what you do want to remember.
Yes, and the curation of certain memories is important.
Of course.
It is. I mean, it really is.
Because otherwise, it's just another jumble of nonsense.
So that was just a big deal, Sarah.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going through. That was a big deal at the time, and you kind of forgot about it, and then all of a sudden, this jarring, you pulled it up. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I remember
cool.
all, and it still seems very fresh, even though that was, 2013?
Right. I love the jarring of memory, like going through these boxes of photos, too. It's the same thing,
It brings you back that sensation. I remember where I was. And,
yeah. I remember that outfit. I remember that shirt that I loved.
Crazy.
You know, like my walleye shirt here.
Yeah. It's a cool shirt.
Yeah.
You too. All right.
So.
Well, good conversation.
Yep.
Let's call it good. And let's talk soon.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean,
great
we can get
chatting.
Back to this.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. We love comments and feedback, so go ahead and let us have it. If you'd like to learn more about Andelin and other legacy projects, visit the website at andelin.app or kineticlegacy.us. Take care.